Thanks for joining us again on the Xbox Insider Podcast. We're just going to go over everything with you guys here, the news, reviews, and give you guys a little bit of a preview of what we've been up to and some of the events we've been going to, and let you guys know what's coming out next week in the news of the following week. I hope you enjoyed our interview with Twisted Pixel Games. It was a great interview. I'm glad we couldn't get it on the last podcast, but we did release it as a separate interview podcast, which you guys did get if you're subscribed to us. If not, or you can just go ahead and see this from the front page, and you just click that podcast button, be sure to go to our Podmatic and go ahead and listen to that review. It's absolutely excellent, and thank you for Twisted Pixel Games for giving us that review. Today, I am joined with Aaron.
Hello.
Dom is here as well.
He's just going to get a cup of tea.
Okay. Hot tea?
Hot tea, yeah, not cold tea.
Also, Jason is here. Pesmer.
Hola, amiga.
And, of course, I'm Tammy Sander, Edward. I sometimes forget that. But we're going to jump in and give you guys a little bit about what's going on around in the news in Xbox 360.
All right, in the news this week, it was announced that Guitar Hero 5 will have avatars. Now, this will be in addition to the actual characters in the game, so you'll be able to have your avatars on stage and also randomly created avatars, as well as, you know, your Izzy Sparks and other characters like Judy Nails. They also announced that the new Left 4 Dead DLC will be coming out to appease the boycotting foes. This will be another single-player campaign that will link together the No Mercy and Dead Air campaigns, and it will be called Crash Course. It was also announced as a rumor that Steven Spielberg may be picking up the Halo Chronicles script, so we may be seeing that coming ahead in the next couple of, well, hopefully years. Tony Hawk Ride was priced in Britain as £99.99 Great Britain pounds, which is approximately, what, $150 US, Ed?
Yeah, but that's a lot of money, US. I mean, but that's okay, because that's kind of what we pay for the Rock Band bundles, so seeing that you're getting a peripheral shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, but take into account that with the Rock Band bundle, you did get, you know, a guitar, a mic, and drums. With this, you're just getting a single-player peripheral. You're not getting a couple that you can play with friends or anything like that. So I think it'll probably be about $200 Australian. So we'll see how that goes.
Yep. The technology in the board as well. There's a lot of technology in the board with all the infrared sensors and the motion detector. And so there's a lot more to it than just some buttons on an extended guitar.
Yeah, but take into account, though, that people usually play skateboarding games because they can't skateboard for crap. So it'll be interesting to see how well or warm this gets received in, well, all around the world. Okay, it was also announced that Gearbox are not working on the next Halo game. They released this on their Twitter, and Microsoft also released it on their Twitter to just appease the rumors, but I still think it's I still think that they may be. But, you know, we'll see how that pans out. And also, Blur, the racing game by Bizarre Creations, is set to release in November, which is a very game move, seeing as every other single game has been scared out of November/December releases due to Modern Warfare, which has everyone quivering in their boots because they want to be a big release. Also in the news this week, the Batman Arkham Asylum demo has come out. We will talk about that a little later, and it is terribly exciting. So if you haven't played it and downloaded it already, then please do so, because you are missing out. All right, in the releases this week, in the US, we have the following. G.I. Joe, Rise of the Cobra, the movie tie-in game, Brave, A Warrior's Tale. And in the UK, we have Ashes Cricket 2009, Summer Athletics 2009, and also G.I. Joe, Rise of the Cobra. And in Australia, we have Ninja Blade. Which has come out everywhere in the world like about 30, 40 years ago, so that's all right. On Xbox Live side of things, we have the Fallout 3 Mothership Zeta DLC, and on the arcade, continuing the summer/winter of arcade, we have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time Reshelled, the exceptionally long title. All right, talking a bit about what we're playing this week. Me personally, I have been playing Splosion Man. Just working through the hardcore mode side of things, which is still ridiculously hard. Wasn't too bad for the first two chapters, but once you get to the third, it just turns the difficulty knob all the way up to 11. So I've been struggling with that. Also playing some Battlefield 1943 online. Still having a lot of fun with that. And a little bit of Secret of Monkey Island. What about you, Ed?
All right. I have been playing, actually, this week I've been playing Destroy All Humans, The Rise of the Furon.
How is that?
I enjoyed it. I seriously enjoyed it. I have always wanted to play the Destroy All Humans games. I did not actually get to play it for Xbox, and I didn't get to play it for Xbox. I don't know why. I just never bought it or anything, but I've always wanted to.
Have you played the one on Wii?
No, I have not. That's like, what, Big Willy's Revenge or something?
Big Willy Unleashed.
Oh, I haven't played that one either.
So you jumped straight in on Path of the Furons?
Yeah, I don't know if I should have, but I didn't know if it was the other ones were... I don't know. It's kind of... Playing a regular Xbox game on the Xbox 360 feels disconnected. You kind of feel you feel that disconnect.
Yeah.
So it's weird. So I did just jump in for this game, and I loved it. It was a great game. I don't understand why the scores were absolutely so low on this one, because it did have, you know, pretty good gameplay. It was a little bit too easy. It did have collection, you know, things to do. So that's pretty much what I'm playing now. I did go pick up GeForce, which came out like 2 weeks ago. So I'll be playing that one after that, since I did finish Destroy Humans this week. Oh, man.
What else have you been playing, Edward?
That's it. I haven't played anything else. I don't know. Dom, I've seen you on live. What have you been up to?
I've been playing Fear 2 mostly, and a bit of Rainbow Six Vegas, the first one.
Oh, okay. Oh, and when you're not doing that, you're shooting me in the head at like 11 o'clock at night randomly in Battlefield 1943, and then messaging me to brag about it.
Yep. I enjoyed every minute of that.
Yeah, the games you've been playing there, Dom, though, you've really just been playing for the achievements, though, haven't you? As they're both quite old titles now.
The first Vegas was. Fear 2's not.
Yeah, because I suppose you are actually going through all the fears, aren't you?
Yeah.
Don't do that. They're bad games.
No, they're not. Lies.
They are. They are bad games.
It's just really confusing.
Oh, and the story doesn't make sense. Oh, and they're not scary.
They're not bad games, and it's not too much of a bad story if you completely disbelieve in the existence of Fear Files, because that technically isn't the sequel. The people that originally made the first one also made the second one, but did not make Fear Files, and they basically said, just pretend it never happened, and then the story makes sense. So, anyway, more...
No, it actually does make complete sense.
It does, just in a very twisted way.
I just wish that was scarier, honestly. That's all I want from a game that is called Fear, like to be actually one. Scary.
The second one is really...
It's not scary, though.
It's creepy. It's not scary. It's just creepy.
Yeah. It's got an interesting atmosphere until you get into a mech and then you just blast everything apart.
That ruined it completely. I didn't like that.
It kind of breaks the atmosphere, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it does.
Like in Dead Space, like you're playing and then all of a sudden you play basketball. That kind of broke the atmosphere for me.
I was wondering about that. That was just sort of this random thing that they added in. I'm like, okay. Bit weird, but you know.
It's new.
It was fun. Yeah, except when the enemies appeared and scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, the two little lurkers. Anyway.
That things, mate.
What I've been playing. Splosion Man, same as you, Pez. Been hitting the hardcore. Just finished the multiplayer, so I got 175 on that now. And
how are you going in the hardcore?
I'm on 3-9 at the moment, so I've got about another 9 levels to go.
Okay, well, I'm stuck on 3-4 at the moment. In fact, if I seem discombobulated, it means that I'm actually playing it at the moment. But I was actually going through, and as I was going through, I was making it a little bit harder for myself by collecting every single one of the cakes in hardcore mode and still trying to beat part-time. And so far, I've been doing all right. In fact, I've actually beaten every single one of your scores on every level except for the bosses.
Because
apparently I suck at bosses.
That's because you're a cake collector.
That's a kick in the balls, that.
Yeah, it's my fault that I don't want to go for the cakes. But I have.
Oh well.
I have to admit, if you want a game that can bring a grown man to tears, blows your money out of them.
Yes, seriously, this game. I'm not a violent man, but this game really makes me want to punch someone, just someone or something.
Although, even though it's a brilliant game, the hardcore playthrough has actually opened my eyes to a few, maybe glitches or problems that there's within the game, like a few spots where they obviously couldn't get the physics to run as smoothly as they wanted to, so they've kind of put scripted moments in, and if you do it wrong, it completely trashes the whole game.
The one bit. Did this really annoy you about the game? When you're playing hardcore mode, when there's cutscenes, you cannot skip them.
Oh my god! And they're always at the beginning. Right at the beginning.
Oh my god!
Sparring robot. The first time you see Dankles, the fat donut guy.
Yes.
You have to watch it. You have to watch it, and that's a good 10-15 seconds. And if you're not good
and
at
the
that,
bosses like... especially and the bosses as well. Like the first boss. I don't know why I'm so bad at the first boss, but the first boss I played. And I had to watch that first boss cutscene like 10-15 times. And it's just, it just makes me, like I said, it just makes me want to be violent to something.
Yeah.
Still a great game.
Yeah, it's a great game. The only reason we're having these problems is because we're playing the hardcore mode, which obviously you don't have to play. But I'm only doing it just in case that the only way to get the avatar unlockable is by completing it on the expert. So
I just want to do it so I can finally complete a single arcade game that I've bought.
And then you can gloat about it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to beat you, honestly, Pez. I've been not been really too interested in playing it, but if I see that you're progressing, I've got to get on there and get a couple of levels knocked out.
That's exactly it. That's exactly the way I feel about it. I don't really get into games like really hardcore until I see someone I know playing it, and then I'm get pretty competitive about it. So that's the reason I started the hardcore to begin with.
Trying to beat me.
Yeah. We should probably move on. We've been jibber jabbering for a fair bit now.
Okay.
I haven't played Explosion Man yet, actually.
Really? What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I played the demo.
Did you not love the demo?
I loved the demo. It was great. I just haven't played the full game. I had a review to do.
Yeah, that's true.
I had reviews to do. Reviews are important.
Reviews are important.
I suppose, just like not playing Explosion Man and everyone else has, you also haven't visited an event recently, Edward. I know me.
Yeah,
no, and I'm not going to get to one. Let's talk about me being upset about this. But then, of course, I want to talk about you guys. In terms of you guys get to go everywhere. Like, just, was it two nights ago?
Yep.
Jason, you got to go to the Halo ODST.
Very special VIP event I did. That was a lot of fun. It was in Cockatoo Island, which is in the middle of Sydney Harbour. Microsoft hired out dibs to the entire island, and about 150 people. They had a charter ferry that all went out there, and we walked through a... it was at night time, about 7 o'clock at night, so in Australia that gets dark about then, or already dark, so we walked through a dark tunnel with, like, zero lighting and almost smashed my head against the wall a couple of times. We went through that for about, 200 metres until we finally got to the tent where the Halo stuff was set up, and we had, I think, 10 HD TVs all running Halo ODST, and they also had... the Warthog, which would have been in Halo Chronicles, a full life-size real Warthog that can actually drive in. It actually has a very cool mode. I was talking to one of the guys from WETA, which do a bunch of movie props. They've done all the Lord of the Rings props and a few other different movies like that. And they actually had, when they were designing the car, they actually had to have it designed to drive in a few different modes, one of which I found very amusing, called Crab Mode, where it is actually able to drive side to side. Very awesome. But yeah, I got a bunch of pictures in the Halo Warthog, and also we had a chat to Curtis Creamer, which is one of the developers on Halo ODST, and he gave us the non-playable demo of the first 10-15 minutes of the ODST campaign. And also we had a hands-on with 8 people playing Firefight all at once. And I must say, if you've played the Gears of War 2 Horde mode, I think Firefight is better. That's a non-Halo fan speaking. I mean, I do like Halo, but I'm not as into it as a lot of other people are. The Firefight mode is just a lot of fun, although no one is very good at it. Even the avid Halo players that were playing it weren't very good, because we got through about 10 waves each, and we got to about 25,000 score, and apparently the par is 200,000 to complete the level, so it'll be interesting to see. Also, the other thing that was cool about it is you can have... There's not many new... I didn't see any new enemies, but there is a decent little bit of new weapons or changed weapons. There's a silenced SMG, which was very cool to have a fiddle around with. And also the pistol is brought back to a more traditional Halo 1 pistol. So it's got a little bit of zoom, good, really good use for long-distance headshots because it's very accurate. In the Firefight mode, you can also add skulls. Just for whatever reason, if you want to make it a little bit more absolutely difficult than it is already. So that's an option available. In the campaign, the single-player campaign, very, very interesting, very different from what is traditional Halo. It seems a little bit more darker, the whole scenario, but there's also a lot more characters in it, and all of the characters have a voice and whatnot. So you see them hitting on their female compadres, and a bit of humor going around. So it was just the first 5 minutes. The interesting changes are there was no, unlike in Halo, because they're not Spartans, they're ODSTs, there's no regenerating health bar, and there's no shields. So if you need to get health, it won't regenerate on its own. You've got to go find a med kit and heal yourself up. So it's going to... I think that makes the gameplay a bit more frantic. Where in Halo, it was a lot more run and gun. Because you're on your own at the start of this, it's a lot more strategic. You've got to think a lot more about what you're doing. There's also a guy helping you called the Superintendent, which was very, very interesting, because you're alone in the city, well, to start off. And when you're walking around, you'll hear a phone ring. And you go to one of the public phones or little public data centers in New Mombasa, and you'll get the superintendent will sort of help you out. He'll give you a map. He's just I don't know exactly what he is, but he seems like an AI construct that just helps you out on the side. He gave you a map, so there's a new map system, and he gives you different objectives. Now, it's not linear like Halo 3, Halo 1, and Halo 2 were. It's more... there's more variation, because the objectives he gives you, you can do them in any specific order. He's just giving you points of interest that he thinks you might find something interesting at. He'll also change when Curtis was walking around, there was street signs, like ads, adverts around the town, and the superintendent would log in, and whichever waypoint you've selected you want to have a look at first, he would change the signs to show that. So that was very cool. And also there's more of a... There's a very, very interesting thing they've done with it, which is sort of a CSI-style thing, where to find out what sort of happened to your teammates, you'll find an object, and you'll pick up the object, and then it'll sort of play back the history of what happened, how that object came to be there. Like in the one we saw... Dutch was his name, one of your teammates, there's a remote detonator on the ground, and the rookie, which is the main character of the game, picked up the remote detonator and was having a having a look at it, and it started playing back Dutch's memory of how that came to be there, and then you actually play the memory as a real-time thing, so you actually get to put the remote detonators there. In this case, they were trying to avoid the Covenant swarming them, and they were putting the remote detonators on a bridge to blow it up, and you're actually playing that memory. So you're not just playing the rookie, you're also playing a lot of your teammates. So it was very, very interesting to have a hands-on, And thank you to Microsoft for the invite to that. And hopefully we'll be going to a lot more of these events, so you'll get a lot more info on new and upcoming games from our hands-on perspectives. Now, Aaron, you also went to a Microsoft event over in London. How was that?
It was okay, but as you said, it wasn't really an Xbox event. It was more of a Microsoft event. So although we did get to see some nice new Xbox 360 things, there was the majority of it was more Microsoft, Windows 7, and the new Microsoft phone, things like that. The Xbox stuff that we did get to see, though, we got Forza 3, which a lot of people seem to be quite excited about. It's quite a lot to it. That had there was two setups there with Forza 3 with the force feedback steering wheel and the standard controller, which was just as fun, to be truthful with you, as the force feedback controller. I don't know if a lot of people have used it or not, but they are pretty rubbish. In a real car, it doesn't turn the steering wheel on its own, which it does with the force feedback. It completely turns the steering wheel in the wrong direction half the time.
Mm.
With the game itself, Forza 3, now, having played Forza 2 and other games on the Xbox 360, like Burnout for a bit, and PGR myself, I played quite a lot of PGR, I found Forza 3 to feel really slow and heavy. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It was more, I was going around a corner, and it didn't really feel like I was going that fast, but apparently I was going fast enough to go completely sliding off the track and slam into a wall. So it's a bit, maybe just due to the new physics engine, because they've put a lot of effort into the physics engine on Forza 3.
We glitched it.
Yeah, we did actually at one point glitch it, but like I say, this was only a beta for it. We managed to get a traffic cone just sitting midair. We Dom hit them, and then one of the traffic cones didn't like fall back down to the ground. He's got a floating traffic cone there. So that was one glitch. They kind of didn't want us to look at that, and we didn't really take any photos either. But the physics in the game, they've even gone into things so much as when you go around a corner, how much the tyres compress on the side where of corner you're going around. So say you're taking a left, the tyres on the left will compress more, so the car will lean slightly more to the left opposed to the right. So the physics,
I wonder if... Sorry, you go.
Well, I was going to just say, so it's mainly the physics that are probably making it feel a bit heavy and slow, because when you go into first person, it does feel a lot faster.
Okay. I was going to say, I wonder if in Forza 2 you could alter all of your suspension and all your tire compression and things like that. I wonder if, because of what you've said, I wonder if that'll play a much more of a part in Forza 3. Because I don't really like that aspect of it. I'm not a car driver. I don't know much about cars. And so that sort of thing doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because I don't know what the best tire pressure is or anything to have like that. So it'd be interesting to see whether that actually plays a big part or not.
Yeah, with the physics engine that's actually they've made for it, it probably will play quite a large role, as the setup of your car will more than likely be more important to winning the race than your skill, because it has a load of set of perks that you can add to the tracks, like
martyrdom.
No, not like Call of Duty perks. More of the arrows on the track, which show you
your braking line, driving line.
Braking line, the driving line. It glows red when you're going too fast to follow the line properly, and then
is that a? Oh, okay, so that's an additional thing.
Yeah.
Because in Forza 2, it was there, but you could turn it on and off, and you'd get more points depending on whether it was on or off, or you could have it just set to braking or just set to driving or whatever. I personally use the braking line because I'm rubbish at car racing games, but...
There was something else as well, the new rewind function, which actually helped quite a lot, but if you're going for achievements, I presume you have to do them without the rewind button. If you're driving around... you're going to say, what's the rewind button? I'll tell you what the rewind button is.
Thank you.
If you're driving and say you take a corner wrong, you can hit the back button and it will rewind you about 5 to 6 seconds, like all the motions you did. And if you're still not further enough, you can hit it again. It will rewind you back even further. And then you can choose to start, like continue from that point that you've rewinded to, so that you can brake early and stuff like that.
It's good for those people, because in car racing games, you can have, there's a little bit of time where, you know, you could be going good for the entire race, and on the, you know, second to last corner, you could completely screw up. But I wonder, did there seem to be a limit on it, on how much you could use it, or do you lose, did you know if you lose points if you use it more often, or?
I think it was about 4 the limit was, around about the 5.
Okay. Yeah, it'd be just interesting to see how that affects the actual, the game itself, because, I mean, like I said, the first one was decently technical. It wasn't amazingly technical, but if you screwed up in a race, you just had to deal with that and either try and undo it or try and redo the race. So it'd be interesting to see how this affects it.
With that function, though, that's going to cancel out some achievements, we think, though.
Yeah, it probably will. To be honest, even on the, if you probably set the AI to difficult or something like that, you'll probably completely undo that function. It probably won't be available or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Along with the Forza 3, though, at the event, we got to see some of the new dashboard updates. I know a few of us here at Xbox Insider have actually got the new Avatar Marketplace from the beta. I know I have. I know Edward has. I don't think Jason or Dom has, though.
No, I don't.
But along with the actual, the standard update that everyone will be receiving next Tuesday, we got to see some of the new things such as Facebook. We got to see Facebook on there, which was quite good. And I can confirm for people right now that when Facebook launches, it will not automatically send you the messages whilst you're in a game. It's going to be a completely out-of-game experience. If you want to know if someone's sent you a poke on a dash on Facebook, you're going to have to back out to your dashboard and go into the Facebook app. Same thing with Twitter, really. They showed us a bit of Twitter. And the thing is, with that as well, it's because you're going to have so many people putting things up on their wall on Facebook and tweeting on Twitter that you're just going to have messages continuously popping up. So they've decided to make them both a completely out-of-game experience. Along with Twitter and Facebook, we also did get to see the new Sky Player. We got to see a little
bit of UK, football.
Yeah, that was actually quite good. We got to see a group of avatars watch the screen, and he actually made his avatar like stand up and point and laugh at the person whose team was losing. So that was quite good.
You have like a selection of emotions that you can choose from. You have around about, there was 10.
Yeah, about 10. It was on like a little emotion wheel. And you could just use the analog stick, and you point the analog stick in that direction, and your avatar did that motion.
That's pretty cool.
Well, the only thing I'd say is it's not going to be, because you really want to see the whole screen when you're watching something. Even if you are in a party, you're going to want to see the whole screen. So the avatar bit's going to be a little bit novelty.
Some people will use it, some people will abuse it, and some people won't even touch it at all. So it's just the way some of the things are.
Yeah, along with the news of like the Sky we got to see, we can actually also confirm that people who have a Sky subscription and Xbox Live Gold will get the Sky Player or whatever small package for free. There will be a separate subscription service to people who don't own Sky in the house, so that you can actually pay for the Sky Player on the Xbox 360 on a monthly basis. So if you haven't got Sky, there is actually the possibility of getting like your Sky Sports, your Sky One on there, which is an upside.
Okay. Yeah. Gives the ability to just give a little bit more out of the Xbox. So.
Yeah.
Should we talk about new releases, Ed?
I suppose we could.
We sort of just glazed over it.
No, I was just saying, you guys are all talking about these crazy, crazy fun events, and I'm here sitting at home.
Their event sounds really, their event sounded really fun, actually.
It really did, and here I am.
Yeah, we didn't even tell you what we got. We got, there was women and walking around with hors d'oeuvres, little hors d'oeuvres, proper fancy ones, and
I want a picture of the elf.
There was, yeah, well, you'll get one when we get our Christmas card, because we'll be posting that up on the site. But, also, there was a bar, open bar, which was pretty good as well. But it was kind of funny because I walked up to this guy. You've got a merry little Xbox above the, and then there's all these glasses, which are real glass, not plastic. There's a few soft drinks there, really fancy, like lemonade with like a mint leaf in it and stuff like that. And he goes, Would you like a soft drink or would you like an alcoholic drink? I said, what have you got? And he goes, we got white wine, red wine, and champagne.
Where's it's not Carlsberg? An open bar.
Where's the Carlsberg?
Where's the beer?
Where's the beer? Where's the shots? This isn't a bar. This is a hoity-toity mixer.
Bring out the keg.
Yeah. That's right. Let's crack this keg party open.
Yeah.
Well, I can confirm that the event I'm going to in a couple of weeks, will have a completely open bar. It's at a trendy bar in Sydney, which I can't disclose its location, of course. But it's going to be a completely open bar, so it'll be me and the other journos will be doing shots, I can guarantee.
Well, in that case, I'm getting the next ticket to Australia, and I'm coming with
you. Rebar.
That's right.
Eight. Great. I guess I'll still, maybe I'll just sit on my couch and take some shots. It would be. I'll tell you what is exciting, though.
Next week's
release. What's exciting, Edward?
I'll tell you.
Oh, Edward! Please tell us.
It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like knock knock. You got to do who's there. Anyway, next week's releases is there.
Woo! Oh!
Oh, yeah.
Yay!
Happy time.
It is. And the big release next week, of course, there's only one, because there can be only one, because EA is a monster. That is Madden NFL 10 is coming out next week in the US and the UK. I don't know why you don't get it, Jason.
Sure. No, I get it.
You do get it?
Yeah, next week is Madden. Yay, Madden.
Madden is going to be absolutely amazing and absolutely fantastic. So it's coming out everywhere, and I'm pretty sure it's going to hit the top of the charts because everyone will buy this. Also, in Australia, you guys are also getting G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra, the movie game tie-in that came out this week in the U.S. and also Europe, and you guys are also finally getting your Ashes Cricket 2009.
Yay! Now,
you've been waiting on that, haven't you?
I have.
Bated breath. Now, also, as we know, is coming out next week in the Summer of Arcade is Trials HD, which has been getting a lot of buzz, and I'm so excited
for this game. It reminds me of there was an older motocross style game that I used to play in computer studies when our teacher was away, where you had to sort of go around and collect apples and do crazy stuff with your bike. I'm hoping this will be a lot like that because that game was absolutely epic.
What kind of daredevil collects apples?
I'm on a healthy one.
I can kill myself. I'm going to collect some apples.
A guy that has good teeth and a great metabolism.
And he must, because there's a lot of apples.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the thing that they cut a part open and they breathe for it, smoke it?
Oh, yeah, you can make a bomb out of an apple.
Yeah.
That's what Dom's talking about.
Yeah. Oh.
Take into account, Xbox Insider does not condone this sort of behavior.
Watch this. Do you know who doesn't like bongs, Dom?
Who?
Batman!
Batman doesn't like bongs.
Yes.
That is hearsay. We can't confirm or deny that.
How do you know?
I'm just assuming.
Not a stoner.
Yeah.
I'm just assuming.
Okay, assuming Batman does not like bongs, let's segue into the new segment.
Yeah.
nice lead on there, Ed.
I try. I really do.
You could have gone like, kapow, bong, zap, Batman. Or not.
Biff.
Yeah.
It's like that Captain America comic where one of the, like, the expression signs, instead of saying something like pow, it says wank.
Yeah. What? Ziff. That has absolutely nothing to do with Batman Arkham Asylum and the demo, but let's talk about that now.
I was going to say, well...
Please. Please, let's get away from this subject.
Well, I haven't played it. I know all three of you have. I haven't played it. Yes. But...
I've actually played it 4 times now.
Wow.
I have not played it all the way through.
I downloaded it, but not played it.
It's amazing.
I was going to say that, Jinx.
Dang.
I thought Batman was absolutely amazing. I mean, the whole... It felt right. I'm not really a Batman fan, per se, because I think that he... You know, I don't like... The vigilante thing doesn't really do it for me.
Anyway. He's Batman. He doesn't care what happens. He doesn't care if it works for you. He's Batman.
I'm a Marvel fan, not really DC. DC's kind of out there. But Batman Arkham Asylum looks great. The Joker was perfect.
Yes. He was absolutely perfect. Amazing. Yep.
So, I mean, it feels good. The brawling was a little bit, and the sneaking actually felt pretty good as well.
Did you get to hang from a gargoyle? I mean, hang one of the henchmen from a gargoyle, do an inverted takedown?
That
I haven't done that yet.
Oh my gosh. Hang from it. What you do is you grapple onto a gargoyle, and while you're on top of it, you, when a dude walks under you, you can string him up and just hang him upside down from the gargoyle. It's awesome. All the cool kids should be doing it.
Should be. Should be.
Mm. And why they're not, no one knows. No one knows. But I found the combat pretty... It felt pretty tight. Although, it was strange that you can... Like, when you, like, throw your batarang or something, why do bats come out? Like, actual bats.
I didn't get that.
I think it's just for effect, but it's weird.
Yeah.
I think it was, like, points.
Ah, maybe. Yeah, maybe it's your combo meter going up or the points, but... It was just strange, honestly.
At first I thought they were telling me where to go, so I was like, what am I supposed to do over here, bats, that you're coming from this ground?
See, did anyone take the time to batarang apart the teeth, the chattering teeth in the first couple of rooms?
I did.
Good times. Good times. Fun. The batarang felt a bit... I didn't really use it in combat much. And what does he... When you hit B... I didn't actually read the controls, I was just fiddling. So when you hit B and he stuns someone, does he, like, throw powder in their face or something? I was a bit confused about that as well.
I never pressed
it. I did it because it said Y and B is takedown, so I kept trying to push Y and B together. You just kept doing that crap. I didn't know what it was, and they had stars in their eyes. I didn't know when to do a takedown unless they were on the ground.
Yeah.
I needed to play more.
The stars in their eyes is what I'm talking about. He sort of stuns them, and then you can do a takedown on them, which is fun. All the takedowns are ridiculously fun, even the glide kicks. Glide kicks make me happy. It makes me want to go. I haven't put a pre-order on it yet, but I've been waiting a long time for Batman. Ever since I originally saw it, I'm like, yes, this is the game. This is going to be the big, you know, game this year, or one of the big games this year, rather, because Modern Warfare 2 and whatnot are a lot of big releases, and if I choose favoritism, I'm sure a lot of game companies will hate me. But, oh my god, I did it again. Sorry, I just died in Splosion Man exactly the same way I died before. A lot of game companies will hate me if I say that, but it's going to be a huge game, and Harley Quinn looks absolutely hot, I will just admit.
I thought that.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. There's nothing like getting excited over pixels, you know. All the cool kids are doing it.
I mean, that's true. Afterwards, did your Wang or Wank sign pop up?
Someone should bring that into the game.
No, that's just dirty. That's dirty.
Yeah, that's not appropriate. We're adults here. We talk about sophisticated things while drinking martinis.
And playing Explosion Man.
Yeah.
Shut up. I must beat Aaron. That will happen. All right? I'm going on record now. By the next podcast, I will have beaten Aaron. Oh, crap! Nothing happened. I'll put that down for now because that's upsetting me. All right, what else have we got to talk about? Anything? Anyone?
For those who are in the beta on the new dashboard update, which will be coming out Tuesday for everyone else, there were the games put up yesterday, was it?
No, that was 2 days ago.
So 2 days ago, the new games were put up on Games on Demand, which included titles such as Oblivion, Elder Scrolls 4, Viva Pinata, Mass Effect... There's a good selection of games on there. The pricing was ridiculous. Everyone believed that these games were going to be coming out and they'd have competitive prices against maybe retail versions. But they didn't. So far, the 7 titles that have been released on the Europe Games on Demand section cost $19.99 each. So that's about $30 American and probably $35-$40 Australian dollars.
Probably, yeah, closer to 40, 45.
So these are old games that can be picked up. Well, I'll put it this way. The one that was closest in price to its Games on Demand version, which was Lego Star Wars The Complete Saga, I could buy a brand new copy of that with free delivery off the internet for £18.08 opposed to the £19.99. So I get the case, I get the game, I can trade it in afterwards. But with the Games on Demand, I can't.
That's the major drawback with Games on Demand anyway, the inability to trade. I mean, I don't trade my games because I'm a collector.
I don't either. I keep my games that I buy. But
they make me happy.
Yeah,
I don't rent games either. I just buy everything.
But at the opposite end of the spectrum, you've got games like Viva Pinata, been out for a while. They were always going quite cheap. You can buy yourself...
Viva Pinata was a launch title, wasn't it?
I think it was. If not a launch, it was very close to launch. But you can buy that games on demand service for $19.99, or you can buy it off the internet with free delivery for £7.50. So under half the price, and that's a brand new copy, sealed game. You can even get the special edition cheaper, and the special edition costs £8.99. So they
have. I didn't know there was a special edition.
Yeah,
there is. It's in a plastic case, and it's not like the standard case. It's kind of like all like embossed with the Viva Pinata characters on it. It's got a plastic sleeve on the top. It's quite nice actually.
Wow, plastic! They went all out.
Oh no, it's not. It's really all embossed and molded, kind of back form.
Oh, okay,
it's,
right,
it's quite good.
It just sounded funny.
Yeah,
ooh, yeah. It's
delicious.
How much is the Mass Effect? Did you say $19.99?
You can pick that up off the internet for £13.99, brand new with free delivery.
Well, in Australia, that's $28.
Which
I can buy it new for $28 at a store, like not even off the internet, so I could get it cheaper off the internet. But going into a store, I could get that for $28, and I think, if I recall correctly, the pricing for Australia is about, $45 for that one. So, and there's a lot of limitations. Like you said, you can't trade it. You can't give it to friends either.
No.
Like, because it's got the lock to a console. So there's a lot of limitations with games on demand. I think they'll really have to drop the price if they want this to work at all.
Mm-hmm. It's just a bit silly, really. And there's going to be like problems such as, like, say, if your Xbox breaks, you're going to have to change your license. If your hard drive messes up, and you're going to have to... Downloading times is something they never really thought about. They said, oh, this is this new service where you can download any game whenever you want. You just pay for it straight out, and you can have it right then and there. But
how big are the downloads?
Depending on the game, some of the smaller ones 3.4 gig, some of the bigger ones 7 gig.
Mm.
Which I know in Australia and America you have faster internet speeds than us, but for me in the UK...
Hold on. Don't be so sure, because in Australia we don't have fast internet speeds. We have 24 megabit, but not many people have that. Like, I am one of the few people, like probably about maybe a tenth of Australia has that.
Well, like, I'm on 2 megabits.
Well, they, yeah, but how far are you from? You're in Petersburg, and no one goes to Petersburg.
Peterborough, not Peters.
Oh, is it Peterborough? I apologize.
We're closest towns to London.
Yeah, but you're not London, are you?
No.
You're just like, you're like the New Jersey to New York.
Ouch.
Oh.
I don't like him no more.
Nah, you got way. You leave Peterborough out of it. We appeared in a Yellow Pages commercial once, and that's the only time we've ever been on TV.
The guy who got
hold on, 43 you do kill. Yeah, 43 million. Don't be writing it off.
Killian kill on Battlefield 1943.
Oh yeah, we got the.
He was a Peterborean.
Peterborean.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't even get in contact with that guy. But then again, it would have been probably weird. Can we take photos of you in your clothes?
That's just.
Did you say it's Peter Boring?
Peter,
that's what I heard.
Oh no, no, Peterborean.
Uh-huh. I'll stick with Peter Boring. Yeah, but not just that. In Australia, we have very expensive internet. I mean, I get 20 gig downloads, 25 gig downloads a month, and that costs me $50. And I'm on a really good deal. Like, not many people have a deal as good as mine. So, most people pay about almost $100 for their internet a month. And they will only get about 10 gig downloads. So in Australia, not only are you paying more for these games, but you've also got to take into account that you're also using up almost all of your internet downloads on a game, a single game that you could have gone to the store and bought for cheaper and not used all your downloads. So you'll be stuck the rest of the month on capped internet, on old 64K almost dial-up speeds. So I can't see this working in Australia at all unless that pricing really goes down and makes people go, oh, well, maybe it is worth wasting my download speed on. Or, yeah, my download limit. Mm. Yeah, there's still a lot of limitations that really needs to go forth. I mean, what about you, Ed? You don't buy a lot of your games. You're more of a rent-and-forget sort of guy. mostly because you're an achievement, a filthy, filthy achievement whore, and don't want to see your games again because it's like calling shame. A one night. It's like calling a, it's like calling a one night stand after you've got all you need out of them, and then you don't want to see them again.
I mean, I don't have a lot of games that I would actually go back and play. Like, there's some people that are like, I'm playing Fallout 3 for the 8th time, or, you know, I'm playing my 5th run through on Mass Effect.
I haven't played either of those games.
Well, I don't. It's just like when I'm done with a game, mostly I'm like kind of done with it. I'm not gonna, you know, pick it up 6 months later. Let me beat this again from the beginning. It's just not my type.
In other words, so, you're not gonna call it, go out for dinner, or buy it breakfast.
No, not the game. I mean, the game is just like, the game is done. It's done. Goodbye. See you later.
He's gonna stick out the window with his pants down.
Yeah.
Not, you know, off my arm or something, but yeah, it's just not something I'm gonna revisit. So my renting the games and beating them and getting what I need out of them and then moving on to the next is a whole lot better, because this way I'm not buying games, because I'm not a trader. I don't trade in my games.
I thought you said a traitor.
No, well, both.
Selling secrets to the English.
Yeah, I mean, I don't go from all these other consoles and stuff.
Yikes.
I don't trade in my games. My games, like when I had my regular Xbox, I had, like, I don't know, when I was done with it, like 45 games or something. So I mean, that is all. I didn't buy a lot, but I don't like to trade them in. And I know some people are just like, as soon as they're done, they run back and they trade it in or some crap. But not,
well, that's because they get a better price for it. But I can't bring myself to trade a game. I've even got a couple of copies of some games, and I can't even bring myself to trade them in.
Yeah, I've got 2 copies of BioShock.
I'll have one. 360?
Yeah.
Why don't you buy 2 copies of BioShock on 360? I mean, it's a fantastic game. It's probably like my 2nd favorite game of all time.
I've played it 4 times as well.
Yeah, I've played it 3 times. Really? I bought the Awesome Edition.
Well, no, I'm saying I've got the Standard Edition, then I've got the Special Edition with the BioShock Big Daddy.
That thing's awesome, except it doesn't really have a lot of good, doesn't have a very good center of gravity.
And it's pretty poorly painted as well.
Yeah, I thought it looked quite.
Anyway, we're not meant to be talking about BioShock.
No.
I'm pretty sure if we were all in one studio, Ed would be giving us stern looks.
Oh, no, I'll tell you something, though, that there's a link back with the games on demand pricing, is that BioShock, which has come out in the US on the Games on Demand service, because they've got many more than us. I think they've got 21 games opposed to the 7 we got. But BioShock on the Games on Demand costs you $30, which is £20. I picked my special edition copy of BioShock with the Big Daddy figure up for £15.
Yeah.
Brand new. Sealed.
Really?
Yeah. Same.
Actually, I've just got a little bit of a news flash here. There's just something come up on my 360 I just want to talk about really quickly. It says best score, single player level 3-4, and says rank 1, Pesma, score 4,365, and it says rank 2, Marth 989, and the score is, it's only 3,150. So I'm like over 1,000 points ahead of you there. And the time, oh, this is embarrassing too. Rank 1, Pesma, 4 minutes 50 and 95 milliseconds. And rank 2 is Marth 989, 5 minutes 08, flat. Wow. What do you say to that?
You've upset him. He's gone outside.
Okay. The only thing I've got to say to that is I beat the first boss the first time, opposed to spending 50 times, like, continuously dying.
Okay. Can't dodge, you know what? Buckets. Is that on hardcore or on original? On vanilla?
On hardcore.
Okay. I actually beat the second boss first time, but the first boss took me, you know, 15, 20 minutes. And your score is still better than that on me, better than mine. So, now,
including the multiplayer, which I finished, like I said, this week, when I got to the final boss, you know, because that is quite hard, I managed to do that first time as well, which is quite good.
I didn't find the last boss very hard, honestly.
It can be, I don't know why people did. With, you know, when you got to bounce off the flies,
Yeah, that can be a bit iffy.
Because you use your explodes to get up there, you miss, and then you drop back down, and then the fried people run into you and you die.
We're wandering again.
Oh, yeah, we are wandering again. Okay, well.
It's all right. There's nothing wrong with getting off track, as long as it's funny. or interesting. I don't think we really manage either, but you know, we work around that.
Okay.
And on that bombshell.
So, that was a lot, and I'd like to thank everybody for joining us here because we got a really lot done here, and I really hope you enjoyed it. Dom, Aaron, Jason, and myself, Edward. I'm going to give them a chance to say hi now or give their shout-outs. You guys want to give shout-outs? Wouldn't that be fun?
Yay. Hi, Mom. Hi, Mom. I love you.
Does she listen?
No. Oh. She doesn't really care for my games journalism.
It's all right. I like to give a shout out to Little Pookie and Ooh. BB on the South Side.
Wiggy Wiggy.
I don't know them. I was a rapper. I was making up shout outs. Sorry.
Because he doesn't have real friends.
I would like to give a shout out to myself when I play this back 100 times as I edit
can
it.
Can you shout out to me too when I play it back?
Hey, Pez. Woo!
Hey, Aaron. What's happening, dog?
Thanks for everything. And I know that wrap-up was kind of weird with our shout-outs, but we would like to give a big shout-out to our Xbox Insider community at our forums. Remember to come over to xboxinsider.net/forums, or you can link to the forums from the main page and join in the hilarity and the talks. And we've got some contests rolling out soon for you guys. So you want to join, you want to get in there so you can have a lead on other people. And as always, we will see you guys on the next podcast. And See
you. Wiggy
wiggy. See you later.
And don't forget, submit feedback or file a complaint and have fun. Not bad.